Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Oh, yeah. Hey there, I'm Carol the Coach, and Carol Jorgensen Sheets is my name. And I gotta tell you, I am excited to be back with you because I've been gone for a couple of weeks on vacation. And I know you probably don't believe this, but I absolutely adore you all, and I adore the show. And, you know, I know that it's quite the service to be talking about something that brings about a lot of shame and guilt and sadness and pain. I hope that I can inspire you to know that there's a lot of hope, too. You know, not only are you working on the sexual addiction, or you're working on boundaries with the sex addict, but you're also trying to be a better person. And so I am very happy to be with you tonight, helping you to do both of those things. And that means you have to get out of your comfort zone. And wow, that can be really tough. I mean, I just want to share with you a little bit. I run a sexual addictions group. You know that. If you listen to the show, it's what I do on Monday nights. So it's very, very fresh. And tonight, I had all the guys stand up, and I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I absolutely agree with the statement, 1 being I don't, what number would you give the statement if you fail to plan, you plan to fail? Which is in direct relationship to something you hear me say all the time. And that is that if you're working the tools, if you're doing the 10 recovery tools every day, that's my promise to you. That's how easy sexual addiction is to manage. Here's the dilemma. Like with anything else in life, it is difficult to do all 10 of the tools. And I actually only require 8 out of the 10. You know, it's the same thing with weight loss. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I had a woman today, and I was talking to her, and I said, and this was in my coaching practice, and I said, you are doing the same thing over and over again. You're expecting different results. Your life is not going to dramatically and exponentially get better until you create more of an infrastructure. Now, she's heard me say this over and over and over again. And she goes, now, I got to ask you, Carol, what is an infrastructure? And I said, You know, the structure is you make 10 cold calls a day. You contact every single one of your supervisees, and you make sure they're on track. You get all the product ordered. That's the structure, but the infrastructure is you get up early. You plan on doing 5 and 5, which means you do 5 tasks to contribute towards your goal every day. You go to bed at a decent hour. You limit the amount of drugs or alcohol that you take in. Now, you may go drugs. Are you advocating for drugs? But, I mean, if I'm working with somebody who on occasion takes a Xanax or another opiate, we got to get you off of that. And we first have to decrease you. And if you're drinking on top of it, that's got to go too. I mean, that's the infrastructure. You've got to create the parameters for what's going to make you successful. So what I said to my group, because I really meant this to be true, and see if you can relate to this. I have the greatest guy in the world in group. He's middle-aged, young, okay? And he cannot seem to stay away from pornography. And yet, of the 10 recovery tools, and let's go over them one more time. If you've got a pen and paper, write them down. Of the 10 recovery tools, he is not going to meetings. He's agnostic or atheist, and he doesn't believe in the 12-step group. Well, I happen to believe that even if you have those issues, you need to be going to some sort of recovery group for support. He is not talking to a sponsor, or if you were doing Recovery Nation, which is an online group, that would be a mentor. He is not talking to people in the fellowship, or he's not on Recovery Nation's bulletin board, emailing those guys. Okay, that's 3 things he's not doing, and yet he's having trouble. He's looking at porn every day. And on top of doing porn every single day at work, because he's IT and he's security and he can, he's expecting to get better. Okay, so the first tool is 12-step group. Second tool is get a great sponsor. Third tool is connect to your fellowship, make calls. Fourth tool is do the 12-step work. And again, simultaneously, if you can't do 12-step work, first tool is do Recovery Nation. Second tool is get yourself a coach. Third tool is connect with people online. Okay, back to the 12-step group because that's what most people do. Fourth step is get yourself a CSAT. What is a CSAT if you're listening for the first time? It's a certified sexual addiction therapist. We are people that know what the deal is. We have been trained. We're not going to sit around and advise you to do what other therapists think that you need to do because they aren't trained. Does that mean I'm a better therapist than another therapist? No, but it does mean this is my niche and I know better about it. I would not proclaim to be a good medical social worker and know what to do with cancer. If I haven't been trained, I know I don't know. So get somebody who's certified, and then get yourself in group. Get yourself in a certified sexual addictions therapist group, because Patrick Karn says that is the number one way to get healthy. Okay, so right there, that's 6 tools. Then you need to read recovery material. You need to read inspirational materials. You need to pray and meditate. This is not meant to make you feel bad or to dictate to you. I'm telling you what works. Those 4 things work. You need to have accountability in your life. If you have a smartphone as opposed to a flip phone, you need to have Covenant Eyes for Canine on it or any other accountability tool. But you can't do it alone. Well, okay, so if you can, good for you. But the majority of people can't, so I'm going to speak to the masses. And that means you cannot do it alone. Trust me on this. I know. I've watched people fail over and over and over again. And then you have to have healthy, healthy, healthy behaviors. You need to exercise. You need to have other friends. You need to be in a Bible study. You need to have a hobby. And last but not least, and this may be number 11, you know, clearly you need to do the work. If you're in 12 steps, you need to do the 12-step work. If you've got a recovery toolkit score sheet, you need to be doing that every day. If you have a partner, you need to be checking in with him or her every designated time you're supposed to do that. And here's my promise to you. If you do the work, it works. If you don't, it doesn't. You are not strong enough to do it. You've heard me say it a million times. Patrick Carnes says it too. If you don't have a committee, and those are the 10 recovery tools, you're not going to be strong enough to fight this illness. This is a disorder that'll take you down. So trust me here, don't do it alone. And if you've got the 10 tools, it will work. So that's where I came up with, if you fail to plan, i.e. if you aren't doing your 10 tools, your plan will fail. You will not be strong enough. So when I'm talking to my guy in group and he says, I don't know why, but I go to work and I get back on the net and I look up porn. I know I can. And I say, you're not doing all the 10 tools. Quit white knuckling it. Well, have you missed me? Because I've missed you. And I know you may think I'm singing to the choir, but one day this will stick. You know, if I'm doing coaching, like I said earlier, my client has got to do the tools. And they may not be the same tools as your tools, but they're similar tools that make her successful. I've got to do the tools. That's why I work out every day. That's why when I work out, I listen to inspirational material on my iPod. I have 1,500 hours of inspirational material. I need that to stay fortified. I need to do an hour's worth of internet work first thing in the morning, because if I wait till right now, I won't get it done. I'm exhausted. I know better than that. Now, you may go, if you're exhausted, then what are you doing doing a radio show? You don't sound exhausted. But you know what? I actually would be exhausted if I had to do mundane tasks that I didn't want to do. So here's the good news. I love talking to you. I want to help you. I want to educate you. I want to inform you. I want to support you. So please, just follow the advice. It's nothing new. I haven't created it. I've gotten it from the masters. And hey, tonight we've got another master. He is a man who is just proficient in managing feelings. And what I know from my addicts is that they not only have trouble managing their feelings, they don't know what their feelings are. And so tonight I'm going to be interviewing Ken Howard, and he's the founder of Aspen Partnership. It's out of Kansas City, Missouri. And he graduated in marriage and family therapy, and he really has made it his mission to work with couples and singles to help them with their emotions. And he uses a variety of techniques, and I cannot emphasize enough, this guy's got some good information. He keeps it simple. And you know me, I so oftentimes say there are five primary feelings. And they are anger, sadness, loneliness, fear, and happiness. And if you identify your feelings every day, you'll allow them to motivate you to get healthy. Well, Ken has a simple formula too. And his formula is that once you understand your anger and really work through it, then you will identify what your fear is. And when you identify your fears, you'll be able to understand better your stress and how it takes a toll on your body. And when you understand your stress and you are working with your feelings, you're much more likely to actually develop the trust you need, whether that be trust in a program, trust in a relationship, trust in yourself, and you'll be better able to work through the shame. And that is so important in dealing with healthy, healthy relationships. And so we'll be excited to talk with him to understand better how to work through these feelings. So you're listening to Carol the Coach, and this is Sex Help with Carol the Coach. I'm glad to work with you every Monday night. It clearly is a privilege and an honor to work with you. So I can't emphasize that enough.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just, for me, has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at caroltecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email this week. He says, thank you for taking my email in question. My girlfriend and I listen to you on the radio, and she respects your opinion as I do. So here's the question. I've been separated for 9 months. I'm working on a divorce. Is it okay to date? I believe it is. But she's not comfortable with being around people who know my divorce is not final. Can you help? He kind of answered it when he said, if she's not comfortable, it's not a good gig. And Pat, you have some questions about dating?
I am 58 years old, and I've been divorced for years. I was watching the Oprah show the other day, and they were talking about...
They were talking about sexual desire.
How does that factor in if you're after menopause?
Obviously, being postmenopausal, you know, you aren't going to have the same pheromones, but then the men you're probably going to be dating, they're not going to have that need to mate with you, you know, for children. How do you feel about hooking up with somebody else?
To bring Carol.
How do you feel about that? Well, you know what? You cannot depend on your pheromones, your hormones, or anything until your life is together. So I'm Carol the Coach, and we are talking about managing your feelings tonight. You know, sexual addiction is a disorder that requires strategies to assist you in maintaining recovery. And we just talked about those 10 important tools. So I got to ask you, what is it that would help you to stay on track with your sense of self? You know, it is terribly difficult when you have compulsions that are making you uncomfortable. If you have questions, call me at 646-595-3284 because I'm there to help you, to provide you some understanding about your feelings, your life, and this compulsion. All right, now, let's talk about those primary feelings again. There are five of them, and they are anger, sadness, loneliness, fear, and happiness. And very clearly, it can feel very difficult to know what those feelings are. And in part, the reason is that you have been known to shut off your feelings. You know what I'm talking about. You have been absolutely known to numb yourself out, not to feel. I just had somebody today who said, hey, can't the sixth feeling be numb? Because that's what sex addicts do. Not only does the addiction numb you out, but other issue is that clearly you don't want to feel. More than likely, you've experienced a trauma and you've taught yourself how not to feel so that things won't be so painful. And boy, that gets tough when you're trying to shut down your feelings because things are so painful. And it's a coping mechanism, isn't it? And then what happens? When you shut down your feelings, you shut down that window to your soul. That authenticity that oftentimes is imperative in getting things together. You know, when I say getting things together, I mean, here's the deal. You know, so many people say to me, oh, Carol, I don't know what is going on in my life, but what I do know is that I am not functioning on all cylinders. And what that means is that they know that they have shut down all their feelings and all of their ability to relate to other people. Does it sound like you? If it does, give me a call, 646-595-3284. And we'll talk about what is going on in your life, because that is so important to making it better. If you don't ask, you will not feel able to navigate your life. And that is what I want you to do. I want you to be able to navigate your life. Now, would you agree with that? So let's talk for a little bit, okay? Obviously, you are probably reeling from anger. Anger that your life has turned out this way. Anger at perhaps a molester, somebody who neglected you, somebody who didn't protect you, somebody who didn't take care of you. And anger is very natural, normal, and necessary. As a matter of fact, it will oftentimes motivate you to do exactly what you need to do. But if you sit in your anger and you don't allow it to take you to that next level, it can be destructive. And that's why people are afraid of their anger. It is not bad, but you have to know how to manage it and how to make it work for you. So clearly, the emotion of anger isn't the problem. It is the misuse of it. Anybody can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way, well, that's not within everybody's power. And that sure isn't easy. You know, so the more trauma you've had, the more likely it is that you've repressed some anger and that your sexual addiction is actually a mask for that anger. And that's what Dr. Carnes calls eroticized rage. It is when you have sexualized your anger in such a way that you've shut down your authentic self and you've created this behavior that is erotic, it's sexual, and it's angry. And so identifying anger is the actual thing that you need to be doing to make your life better. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Now, I understand that anger is scary. Boy, I know that of all the emotions, next to fear, anger is the one that you may fear most that you can't control. There's this great book, and actually, Ken recommends it. It's called Deadly Emotions by Dr. Don Colbert. Now, he's a Christian, so I forewarn you, if you don't walk the faith path, it may be a turnoff. Then you might have to do something like The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner. But anger is a necessary emotion to getting you to feel the feelings and to work through them. And I kid you not, it is an important, important vehicle for getting you healthy. That is what I promise. So, oftentimes, when you're working with anger, it's often important to know that anger is when stress plus any kind of trigger thoughts, and that might be your addiction, getting on porn, getting into a chat room, calling somebody, hiring a prostitute, exhibitionism, doing some voyeuristic behaviors. When stress and those behaviors occur, what happens oftentimes is that it takes you deeper into self-loathing. And then you become angry at yourself for being not worthy. And when you don't feel worthy, it's hard to muster the energy to make your life better. So I got to ask you, is anger bad? Bad, it may feel wrong. Maybe you've mishandled it in the past, and certainly there have probably been people in your life that have mishandled it. But no, anger is not bad. Anger is, and I said the three N's, normal, natural, and necessary. And I'll tell you what. Sometimes you can't do it alone. You need a CSAT to help you with that anger. Or, I must admit, I've had lots of emails from people. I had one just this week, and it said, "Hey, Carol, I have a question and would appreciate your commentary. I've heard you talk about treatment programs and wonder what you thought about programs that deal directly with anger. For instance, the Meadows and their Survivor Workshop. Do you refer clients there? I need to do family of origin work. The abbreviation for that is FOO work, F-O-O. I'm a recovering sex addict. I've also been looking at the Hoffman process and wonder if you're familiar with it and if you have any clients that have attended Hoffman. Do you have any comments? I recall you mentioning being a part of a listserv group of CSATs and wonder if there's any commentary comparing the two groups, the Survivors 1 and the Hoffman intervention. Well, to be honest, you know me. I'm going to be rigorously honest. No, I've never heard of the Hoffman group. But now that you brought it up, we'll call you Tom. Tom, now that you brought it up, I'm going to look into it. I'll run it by my listserv, and I'll also look into it and let you know what I think. And you, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know I write blogs for the Meadows. It is a treatment program that I think is one of the best, and here's why. The Meadows has always offered superb addiction programming for people. And, you know, it's interesting because if I help you with your sex addiction, there's a good chance that your workaholism will increase, your eating disorder might increase, your gambling addiction might increase, your overspending might increase. And the Meadows really looks at all of those issues so that one thing doesn't rear its ugly head when you are working on the other. The other reason I really recommend it is because Patrick Carnes is at Gentle Path, and Gentle Path is a subsidiary of the Meadows. It is its own specialized program. And so I really recommend that treatment center because it has some of the best. You've heard Claudia Black on this program. She deals with adult children of alcoholics. John Bradshaw works at the Meadows. He does some advising. Pia Melody does. These are the masters of the masters. So, yes, I highly recommend the Meadows, and I will look into the Hoffman program, and I will get back with you ASAP. I'll talk about it on the program. And Tom, feel free to email me again and remind me that I promised you that I would do this. I got to tell you, I'm pretty doggone busy. I am the only certified sexual addictions therapist in the Indianapolis area, and we are a big, big community. I recently got a letter that said, "Hello, Dr. Sheets." Well, okay, now, first of all, I'm not a doctor, but people don't know that. "Happy New Year. Every time I look into the mirror, I see a useless, worthless, and pathetic woman who can never do anything right. Whenever I make a mistake or something goes wrong, I get highly upset and I'm very hard on myself. The more I try to move on from situations, especially around sexual addiction, and the more I try to stay away from bad relationships and look at the bright side, it backfires on me. I realize that I'm a fake, that I'm not the person I want to be, and therefore I don't deserve to get better." She says, "The more I try to make up for the bad things for the better, the more it backfires on me. The harder I try, the worse it gets. I try my best to stay positive during the strongest situations and tough times, but my best just isn't good enough. Every time I feel, look at, learn from, and let go of things, they come back to haunt me. I mean every time. And I have no choice but to just let them get the very best of me. I am haunted by my behaviors. I'm bothered by all things I'm not proud of, and all the things that I wish I didn't do, all the things I regret, and all the things that I wish I could take back. I'm even haunted by the past situations that never had to happen. The tragedies, the molest, the loss of trust, the trust in family members, the violent crimes, the drugs I've done. I am having a love/hate affair with myself and holding a grudge against myself. I am very interested in what you would advise for me. Please contact me at your earliest convenience. Thank you. Well, here's what I would advise this woman. We'll call her Susan. Susan, it really sounds like your sex addiction has helped to contribute to, or I should say has helped to contaminate your sense of self. But I suspect that your trauma as a child has contaminated you more. And that now that you're an adult, you are in a spiral cycle where you are not taking your life in the direction that you need to. Until now, because you emailed me. Susan, are you ready to do what it takes to get healthy? Because it's not going to be a couple of sessions with Carol the coach. It's going to be an entire series of work. Usually when I work with people that hate themselves as much as Susan professes to hate herself, I say it's time for some intensive treatment, whether that be the ranch, whether it be Elements, whether it be the Sexual Recovery Institute, whether it be the Meadows. Whether it be Keystone, whether it be Capstone, whether it be SRI, The Right Promises, Sundance, The Recovery Place, it matters not as long as you're going to a facility that will help you with your addictive behaviors and work on your sense of self. That is so important. You see, when you hate yourself that much, therapy is probably going to prolong the inevitable. And I want you to get the most help possible. Now, if you're somebody who doesn't have insurance, or your insurance is not going to cover this kind of treatment, that's when you need to let me know. I will do my very best to coordinate with some of the trusts that we have going on in the United States, and maybe we can get you some charitable care. But you've got to be willing to also put your finances on the line for your treatment. You know, I just worked with a man who second mortgaged his home. I just worked with a woman who went into her 401k. Now, what would Susie Orman say? She'd say, don't do it. But I've got to say, if you need good, healthy, emotional care, then let's try to get you to a facility that can assist you. But then you might need a specialized treatment center, like one of the ones that I just mentioned. So I appreciate, Susan, you giving me a call, and I look forward to hearing what you're willing to do to make your life better. But I've got to tell you, there is so much self-loathing there that I just don't believe that can happen without you getting some intensive treatment. And that's more intensive treatment than what a typical treatment center can offer. Whenever you're dealing with sexual addiction, you really need somebody to help you with that. But I sure am glad you called. Because what I know to be true is that oftentimes when you're working with your anger and you're identifying your feelings, you end up feeling a lot of fear. And for many of us who work with clients, as Ken puts it, fear is the other constant guest in the office. You know, so much of the bad behavior is rooted in fear. And I always say there are five fears of intimacy. You know, fear of being rejected, not being good enough, fear of being abandoned, fear of hurting others, fear of being hurt, or fear of losing your identity. He identifies fear of being left, fear of being hurt, fear of not being enough, fear of failure, fear of success, and on and on. You know, most of it is subcortical and not even really registering in the frontal lobes. And what does that mean? That means that most of your brain can't process the fear, and that the lower limbic system compels people to make some really bad choices. So what does fear do to your body? How does it mobilize you or immobilize you? Is fear ever helpful to you? What does your fear look like? Because there's no doubt that when you're a sex addict or when you love a sex addict, you're a partner, oh, there's a lot of cortisol running through your body. You know, there is so much stress. And we're just now understanding how stress affects the body and the brain, how cortisol is produced, and how when other stress hormones are left in the on position, what a toll it takes on your immune system. And what do you do for that? Well, you look for substances to neutralize it. You look for substances that will help you not feel. And there you go again. What? You get into that I'm not feeling like I need to feel. Right? Yeah, so what I encourage clients to do is to learn mindfulness or stress management or self-soothing. You know, when a client says to me, Carol, I had the urge, I just wanted to act out so badly. You know, I wanted to expose myself. I wanted to voyeur. I wanted to cheat. I wanted to chat. I wanted to Snapchat. I say, okay, imagine the behavior, and then imagine a hand moving it away. Because you know what? I admit that feeling absolutely is embracing, and you don't think you're going to be able to get over it. But if you can hang in there, you can move that feeling away. And when you move that feeling away, the statement, this too shall pass, occurs. And you no longer feel that urge, that craving, that compulsion. But too many people get stuck in feeling the feeling, and then what do? They act out. So you have to know how to hit the de-accelerator and how to give your prefrontal cortex a break, and how to breathe through the stress. That is absolutely imperative to your existence. So now, think about your life. What are some of the stresses that you feel? Literally. What role does cortisol play in your stress? What's your infrastructure to deal with the stress? I exercise because I love it. Yes, I'm one of those wacky people that I love to exercise. I love to paddleboard. Okay, so I'm not doing it right now. It's 13 degrees with a wind chill of zero. But I love to rollerblade. I love to power walk. I love to work out with weights. I love to do Pilates. I like to mix it up. And what I know to be true is that not only do I love those things, but it decreases my anxiety. I have anxiety, but I've learned how to manage it. And I have navigated it into something healthy. I border on being a workaholic. I love it so much. So I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I am saying that You know, today can be the first day of the rest of your life where you really appreciate yourself. But you've got to be able to provide an infrastructure that supports you and deals with that stress. And you've got to know what are the tools that help you to manage that. And if you're in a really negative, unhealthy environment, you're not going to be able to understand and deal with the stress. So, as I was talking to you earlier, Deadly Emotions by Don Colbert has been highly recommended. Dr. McKay wrote When Anger Hurts. Harriet Larson has done The Dance of Anger. There are all sorts of books to help you with your stress, your anger. But what do you do when that stress and anger turns into shame? Now, everybody probably knows the difference between guilt and shame. The guilt is when you know you've done something wrong. And shame is when you don't like yourself, when you feel bad about yourself. And so many of the clients that we work with have carried around so much shame from childhood. They fundamentally see themselves as bad, flawed, and worthless. Now, what can you do about that? Well, you know, the 12-step program eventually gets you to the 12th step where you get to do service and make a difference in the lives of others. Anytime you can volunteer and do something healthy, it can take you a couple of notches out of the shame that you may feel. Now, I was talking with a man today, and he's a theologian, and he works for a church. And he said, you know, I've looked at porn all my life, some really bad experiences. I've been into bestiality. I have molested a family member. I have been molested. I have cheated on my college preparatory tests. And so when I do something good, I feel like such a fraud. I feel as if I'm not worth it. And I say, okay, I get that. I get that that is a common feeling when you're doing something good. If you don't have, and I'm going to be so bold here, if you don't have your shit together and you're doing something good, you're going to feel like a fraud. You're not going to feel authentic. But I'm going to ask you to go ahead and do it anyway. Face those fears and just do it anyway. Because anytime you can look at what you're doing right, even if it feels wrong because it doesn't feel like you deserve to feel happy, know that you do deserve that. And, you know, if you're having some trouble with shame, Ken Howard recommends The Gifts of Imperfection, Daring Greatly, and The Power of Vulnerability by Brené Brown, in part because Brené, she's somebody who really has studied vulnerability. And unfortunately, shame is part of vulnerability. You know, you probably have heard me say this before, that Brené Brown says that more people feel truly vulnerable when their life is going good because they're waiting for the other shoe to fall. They don't really believe it's going to last. Now, I hope that as you're listening to me, you're trusting. You're trusting me to know what's in your best interest. You know, we have a relationship, I hope, on every Monday night at 9 o'clock. And I hope you can feel my sincerity that I really do want to make a difference in your life. And I don't know. I can't imagine that you would think that I have worked a 12-hour day and then have waited 2 hours and then I'm doing this for my own ego. But maybe you are. Maybe you're having trouble trusting. Maybe you don't think it's as easy as I'm making it sound. If you have trouble with trust, I understand that. You know, so many people who are experiencing sexual addiction, they have had their trust violated over and over and over again. But I want you to find the simplest people to trust, i.e., I want you to trust me. I promise you, I'm not getting paid for this. I actually pay to do this. You know how much I pay? How much do I pay? I pay $99 a month to do this. And in addition to that, I have every show transcribed, and I pay another $120 a month. So literally, I pay about $220 a month, which is about $3,000 a year to disseminate this information for you. Okay? You know, this does not, I'm certainly not winning the Nobel Peace Prize, and I'm not getting any major Emmy for this show. I'm doing this because I care. I'm doing this because I want to inspire you. I want you to believe that you can make a difference. But here's how you do it. You go to sexhelp.com, and you put in your zip code, and you find a CSAT that you can work with. You start doing the readings of the experts on my show, whether it be Brené Brown, Dr. McKay on anger, boundaries, Patrick Carnes, Gentle Path, Facing the Shadows, Out of the Shadows, if you're a partner, Mending the Shattered Heart, Facing Heartbreak. I mean, the reading. Get yourself into a support situation. Find yourself somebody who can mentor you and take your life to that next level. And I promise, when you do 8 out of the 10 recovery tools every single day, it will work. You're worth it. You've got to learn how to trust yourself. So, I'm asking you to risk. I'm asking you to be responsive. I'm asking you to count on me and count on yourself to do the work and find the resources. I'm asking, and I know it's hard. I know you've got a busy life. I know you don't have time. I know, though, here's what I believe you've spent. Minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years on your sexual addiction. And now it's time to work on your recovery tools. So I am so thankful that you're listening to this show every Monday night at 9 o'clock. I want you to go to my website, Sex Help with Carol the Coach. You can go to my Facebook page, which is under Carol Sheets. Look under Sexual Addiction and like it. Go to Gentle Path and look for recovery books that are really good. Yeah, they may not have the discounts that Amazon has, but you are supporting recovery materials. And I want you to work on identifying your feelings. Again, they're anger, sadness, loneliness, fear, and happiness. I want you to do it every day. I want you to work on your stress. I want you to decrease your shame, and I want you to build up your trust. And when you do those things and you work it, it works. And please remember, if you fail to plan, you're going to plan to fail. And you don't deserve that. You deserve to make your life different. So I appreciate you hanging in there and being with me tonight. And feel free to email me at carolthecoach@aol.com. I will work with you via Skype to get you set up with the right resources. I don't do intensive therapy, but I do consultation to get you where you need to be. I'm not cheap, but boy, I'm not the most expensive person. Actually, everybody and their brothers think, Carol, you got to raise your prices. But I do promise you that there are many, many people out there that care about you. And whether you're a partner who is heartsick and you don't believe you can trust your partner anymore, or you're an addict and you're weary, you're not sure you've got the energy to do what it takes, get yourself with a CSAT, get yourself into intensive therapy, and build that committee that will take your life to the next level. And as I say at the end of every show, there will only be one of you at all times, so I fearlessly ask you to be yourself. I want you to have a great week. I'll see you next week, same place, same time. And again, thank you for honoring me into your home and into your life. Have a great night.